Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's not a white-winged dove. It's Tanya Bork. She is a longtime Democratic strategist here in Wisconsin. We're talking about some of the polling that we've all been digesting over the last few days, assessing Donald Trump's effectiveness 100 days in. Most notably, you know, this morning I took a look at the NPR PBS News Marist poll that just came out. It was in the field April 21st through April 23rd. 45% of respondents, 45% give Donald Trump an F. That is just incredible. And 45% versus 23% as an A, 17% as a B, and then the rest is sort of rounding error. Tanya, I wanted to get back to this point that this has bugged me for decades. And I have never, like, gee whiz, I would be a very, 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 very wealthy political consultant if I knew the one answer to this question. But Democrats tell the truth, right?
To a fault.
And yes, is there rhetoric employed? Are there exaggerations? Sure. Have individual Democrats lied? Sure. But on balance, the Democratic Party has largely sought to tell their constituents and voters the truth, even when it's painful, even when it's complicated, right? Yeah. That's always, it's the Dems and the messaging. Why can't we get the messaging right? And it's like, well, sometimes I think people are psychologically primed in certain ways to reject information. But my real question to you is, Dems try to tell the truth. I don't know that we always get the message exactly right. We try to operate, I think, observably and objectively in good faith. We get punished for this, it seems, in certain election cycles, especially when we have an incumbent in the White House many times, right? It's in those midterm cycles. What's going on here? Why is it that Republicans seemingly can get away with the most flagrant and abhorrent lies cycle after cycle, and their voting base doesn't seem to care?
Well, that's a really good point, that their voting base doesn't seem to care. Our voting base does care, which is part of the reason why, you know, we don't do that. But it is really hard for Democrats to say, you know, not only to not tell the truth, but to say one thing and do another, or to say one thing when it's politically expedient in one election cycle, and then completely to say something different when it's politically expedient in another election cycle. And you know, I would say that does sometimes, I guess, cause a problem with voters, but it's also authentic. And, you know, I don't think it's something that you're going to see us change. We don't like to be hypocrites. And, you know, maybe we should not care about that as much, but we do. And the other thing about messaging, I mean, I think that there is a lot of work that that we as Democrats need to do to kind of break through more. I think some of the ways that we communicate need to be updated and refined, and we need to start talking to people more about where, you know, where they are and where they get their news. And we do a little bit of that, you know, but we need to do a lot more of it.
Can I ask you a related question, Tanya? And this, again, this has turned into a, like, Maggie's missives on things that have bothered me about political communications over the last 25 years. But I think a lot of our base has some of these questions from time to time. And I'm going to be really blunt at this. Mm-hmm. What are state parties, and I'll speak specifically about the state Democratic Party here, doing about Democratic pipeline and the vetting of candidates? I think one of the things that turns regular people off is we've got folks that sound like politicians. Nobody wants to listen to a stinking politician. I don't want to listen to them. As soon as it sounds like they're reading me talking points, it's like, interview over, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's not helpful to me as a voter. I think people stop listening. What are we doing about our pipeline and trying to ensure that the candidates that we're putting out there are allowed to be themselves, they're not overmanaged, and that we're promoting people that do have an authentic voice?
Well, I'll just say one thing about that. I'll say if we don't, we can't, you know, this is probably not what I should say, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Oh, good. You know. Say it anyways. We're on live radio. I mean, go for it.
To some extent, candidates do need to be managed a little bit. It doesn't mean that they should be inauthentic, though. That is the real crux of what we need to be doing. We also need to be working harder to find candidates that match their district. Now, that's going to get a lot easier now that we have new maps. I will tell you, as somebody, one of my jobs in previous years was working for Emily's List, and my job was to recruit women candidates to run for office and mostly for local office. And it is really hard to recruit a really good candidate that fits the district. Maybe it's a teacher or a nurse or, you know, when they sort of feel like the numbers are already stacked against them before they even put their name on the ballot. And with, you know, all of the money that needs to be raised and all of that stuff, you know, it is really hard. It's not that we don't try, right? But oftentimes our really the best candidates that we can try to recruit are people who say, I'm a nurse, I'm a mom, I've got soccer. You know, it's really hard to find find candidates that fit the district. And then they have to, not only do they fit the district, they have to be good on camera. They got to be good at an interview. They've got to be good on the phone raising money. And it is a lot to ask. And it's especially a lot to ask if, you know, in previous cycles when we've got legislative districts that are already slotted against them. So
right.
When you go to recruit a candidate and you say, you know, this is a, you know,
you're 42 gonna lose.
A 42% Democratic district. How about it? Let's try to get to 45. It's not that appealing, but that is going to get better. And I also think that we have a bigger bench than we've had before, and we've got a lot of more enthusiasm than we've had before. And that will help us to recruit good candidates that are authentic and fit their district, and hopefully can stay on message.
That is the key, authenticity, reflecting your district and staying on message, but not sounding like you're staying
exactly.
on message.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tanya Bjork, longtime Democratic strategist. When we come back, it's the State Slate with Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation, our political editor here at Civic Media. We're going to talk about some breaking news just moments ago in Hannah Dugan's prosecution. Ooh. Don't go anywhere. My name is Maggie Dawn. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.